And welcome to show six.
Numero seis.
Oh, crap. I only knew Spanish. Oh, no, I don't. I kind of know a little Russian.
That was Spanish. What are you talking about?
Well, I said I only know Spanish. I was going to say it in a different language because I'm in this whole international theme ever since the comic last Wednesday.
Yeah. Awesome.
I remembered what day it was, which was so un-PC that it might have turned out being PC and being all about we should all unite together and we shouldn't wear silly hats.
Can I mention something?
Yes.
Was it last episode or the episode before where I was talking about the jelly bean in the middle of a discussion? It was two episodes ago.
That would be episode three.
And we mentioned that there was... No, was that three? No, I think it was four.
Well, we could check.
Well, anyway, so I had, as I was listening to it, a really great inspiration for a joke. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Wait, I'm not quite ready. You mean... Okay, I'm ready.
So, what do you call an Oreo that's fallen on the floor?
Hemorrhoid cream.
A Florio. I was so mad at myself for not doing that.
So, if any of you tell that joke, you have to pay Annie 25 cents, because that's gold.
Yeah, that's awesome. it's a great segue for the story that I had.
What is the story you had? You're all craziness tonight.
I'm all set and ready to go. So, I call this story Floor Fries.
And tonight's story.
I just got back from California, and boy, are my arms tired. It's a long flight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh God, Annie's editing this episode. I have a feeling that's gonna stay.
It's totally staying.
Awful. I'm internally bleeding.
It's funny because it's
from
bad.
My funny bone.
So I was in the airport coming home. I was in Orange County, and there was this family there. And it was, like, a family of five and, like, a mom and a dad. And they were, like, kind of, like, white upper middle class. And they had, like, three little kids. And they had, like, this little boy, little redheaded kid with, like, freckles. And he was maybe, like, 4 or 5 years old. And I was sitting there watching them because I was bored because I was in the airport. And that's what you do in airports. You sit there, feel bored, and watch people. And think disparaging thoughts.
I want to get on a plane now. How about you guys?
So they're sitting there and they're eating their like airport McDonald's and just like they dropped like a bunch of French fries through the seat back behind them. And there's like five French fries on the floor. And I was like, well, that's maybe they just didn't notice, you know? But then they like dropped a crayon back there and the dad like bent over and picked up the crayon, but left the French fries. And I was like, you guys are just gross. You American pig ass people with your French fries in the airport and your little kids running around screaming. And so then...
You just made me imagine a pig ass. Thanks so much.
American pig ass people. Anyway, so...
It's like cat butt, only grosser.
So then it got even worse. This little boy starts, like, climbing around on the furniture and, like hanging off of these... Like, you know, other people are sitting there, like, trying to pretend like there's not, like, a little kid hanging off the back of their chair and stuff. But there is... And I was like, these people are such assholes, right? And so then I'm sitting there watching as this little boy spots the McDonald's fries on the floor, like, behind his parents. And so he, like, sneaks down there and he bends down and he starts picking up each French fry one by one and eating them off the floor of, this dirty-ass carpet at the airport. And, like, I was like, this little boy is probably going to die in 3 days. And yeah. I am so loving watching him eat these fucking French fries.
You're like, have another one.
I was
one.
Like, ha! That was my floor fries story.
Your floor fries? As opposed to your Florio story. There is no Florio story yet. But
a Florio. The Florio was just a joke.
If you want a Florio story, just take an Oreo to any disgusting public place, drop it on the ground, and watch me go after it. That is a Florio story. I don't buy Oreos anymore because I get too crazy with them. I eat, like, the entire box. And I really like leaving the black stuff on my teeth. So, like, I purposely will stick as much as I can on my teeth while I eat them. Just so
and then you walk around beaming.
Well, yeah, that's because, like, if you ever offer Oreos to anyone in the room, they'll be so grossed out by how your teeth will look, they totally won't take one. You'll be like, hey, you want an Oreo?
That's one of those...
They'll be like, ooh, no.
Like, greedy fat kid strategies, isn't it?
Yes, I was... I was a smidge of a fat child. A smidge of a hostess candy girl. That sounded dirty, but it meant I was just a butt-ass. What was I?
Pig-ass?
I was a butt-ass. I was a rear
I was
end
redundant.
Behind.
That's what I was.
I was a redundant. I was. Yes. So, pig ass.
We have some fun things for you in store tonight.
For them or for me?
Well, I always have fun things in store for you, Colleen.
I hope it's a Florio.
It's got that extra crispies.
A nice dirty Twinkie that I dropped somewhere in New York City.
And then you could use it.
And then you have to taste it and guess where.
Okay.
Mmm, this tastes like Chelsea.
Mmm, definitely Wall Street.
<There's>... Go ahead.
No, I was just having fun making sound effects.
Seriously, though, we have some good things in store for you tonight. We have a little sketch that we have arranged.
We do, which I have no idea if it's going to be funny, but me rehearsing it was very funny to me.
Colleen cracks herself up.
I do, often while alone in public places.
Speaking of which, when I was on the train home tonight, I take the F train, for those of you who don't know, and the F train stops above ground for two stops, and it's fun for me to watch people who, I mean, most people, if they ride the F train every day, they know that they have, like, 3 minutes to have their phone conversation. They get off because they're going to go underground. And
are you talking about the tunnel people?
Not, no. The normal people.
No, I don't mean, like, the mole people. I meant, like, the people that start the phone conversation as you're going back underground freak out.
Let me tell my story here. Okay, so today there was this guy, and he was on the phone, and...
Let's call him Stu.
No, he was more like a...
Kramerg?
He was not a Kramer.
I don't think
he was like a
Kramer.
Bruce, I think.
A Bruce.
He was like this kind of big, obnoxious guy and everything. Like, Mr. Like, oh, I gotta be loud and have my annoying accent,
my
you
name's
know.
Bruce.
So, he was like all on the phone and...
I'm Bruce on
I noticed
the phone.
Him before we even got like underground because, like I said, he was really like, Mr., I have to have like my phone conversation on the top of my voice, blah, blah,
yes.
blah. And so,
Hey, Annie.
His phone cut out as we were sitting at the last station before going underground. And so then I watch as he, like, calls the person back as we're, like, starting to go underground. And he, like, has, like, two sentences. And then, of course, his phone cuts out.
Ah.
And he's standing right in front of me. And he's like, hello? Hello? And I was like, I couldn't stop laughing at this man. And he's standing right, he's like this big guy. And I'm like giggling. I'm like dying because I'm like, this is a big guy. He's probably like mafia or something. And he's going to kill me right now because...
Jimmy Goldberg mafia?
No. Tougher mafia than that. He doesn't have bags of socks.
Aw.
So anyway, so speaking of talking or giggling by yourself in public places, that was a really inappropriate time to giggle for me. That's but I couldn't stop myself.
I have a thing with one of my friends. I had the notoriously worst cell phone. I'm not sure if that was a sentence, so...
Well, it was a sentence. It was just a really bad one.
Yeah. I'm going to try it again. I had a shitty phone.
Much better, yes.
I like to use extra words that are not needed in sentences, such as the words I'm using in this one right now that's very long and complicated and dilapidated.
It actually wasn't until you decided to make it that way.
Shut up.
I wrap your head around that one.
I'm not that flexible.
Okay,
but, me and my friend have this thing because I had a phone that would cut off every single time we talked.
Yeah.
So we would actually, like, get excited when we thought it was going to cut off, and we'd try to say the funniest line we could, and then as soon as we got cut off, we'd both email each other and, like, tell each other what was the last line we heard.
And was there any that were worth sharing?
The best one was, it was actually the first one we did because it was totally unintentional. After that, we were just saying ridiculous things for like 5 minutes straight, like, I own a hat made of Jell-O bits. I have a head that's filled with popcorn. You know, mine were always food-oriented for some
food
reason.
And head-oriented, apparently, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and his were usually, you know, a little more intellectual, like, I have a case that's filled with Jell-O. That's classier than having a wig of Jell-O. But,
I think
the
you
best
said
one,
hat, but anyway.
Well,
hat of Jell-O, head of popcorn.
I wear a wig, and if you have a hat of Jell-O, it's inevitable, Annie. It's inevitable.
I guess it's all one and the same. So, so what was the first one?
So the first one was, I was talking about my fish, and one of them had a very long poop.
As they often do.
Yes, yes, it was a little streamer. So,
sometimes they compete with me, as a matter of fact. I get jealous. I feel inadequate when I watch your fish poop, Colleen.
I don't know where this show is going, but I They want to leave the room. I am so disturbed, but no. Why? First, pig butts. Now you're imagining Annie butts. Stop it.
So what was it? What was it? I'm dying of suspense here.
Well, I just said, oh, poopy fish. And that was it. And then for like a week, that was the beginning of every email that week.
Poopy fish.
Poopy fish. Or like that was like our sign off too. We'd be like, okay, poopy fish. And we'd hang up. No goodbyes. No nothing. Because goodbyes are hard. But poopy fish.
They're hard.
It's not hard.
Yeah, I think it's actually about time for our first song.
Okay.
And I am super, super, super excited about the band we have today. I actually went to see a band I adore called Palomar. And this band opened for them. And they were phenomenal. Like, they blew everybody away in the crowd. Like, first of all, they had just an obscene amount of props on stage, you know, seaweed, Barbies, like lots of really crazy stuff.
I love obscene props.
It was amazing. But not only that, but they had three backup dancers with choreographed dance moves.
Not enough backup dancers these days either, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were saying three wasn't enough, and I'm like, how many do you need, Annie?
Well,
God,
you know,
damn you!
In Captain EO, there's like a whole phalanx of dancers. Or, like, in Coming to America.
That's true.
There's, like, when he's meeting his, like, bride-to-be, there's, like, the whole room is, like, these chicks dancing, which I recently found out. That whole dance is the Thriller dance. It's just to a different song.
What?
And I really want to go back and watch that movie now, because I'm dying to watch it.
Wow.
Now that I know what the Thriller dance is, because I was born in 1981.
As a random side note, I don't know the Thriller dance by heart, but I know the Remember the Time dance by heart.
Remember the time
when
we fell in love?
Do you remember the time when we Yeah, I know that by heart. And it's kind of hard.
I wish I knew a Michael Jackson dance by heart. Preferably a Thriller, but any Michael Jackson dance, and I'll die happy.
We can arrange that.
After I watch The Lion King on Broadway.
Do you remember the time? Do you, Annie? Come on.
And I meet Suzanne Summers. Then I can die happy.
Yeah, well, back to the
band. So this band.
So this band is called Ponce de Leon. And they were amazing. And these backup dancers had, like, the greatest choreographed moves. I can't describe it. It's just funny. Like, a lot of gators clapping and a lot of people being scared of the gators. It was Gatorific, and I loved it.
All right.
Yeah. So, but the first song we're going to do by them is called Jungle Tea Parties, and I hope you guys adore it as much as I do.
Through the swaying of the palm trees against my pink skin, I feel the sea breeze. I'm just like you if all your blood was leached and your knees were weak and you were dipped in bleach. We're going to have a jungle tea party. Swing down from your vine and come and dine with me. I like to have a wide variety. Caffeinated or decaffeinated teas. Stomach worms may ravage intestines, but that's no need to forget etiquette lessons. I hate myself and killed my high school bud and fell in love with some bullshit jailbait slut. Orangutans like the way it feels to
So yeah, that was Paso de Leon, and it was fabulous. Did I just say it wrong? I probably did.
No, you did. I think you said fabulous. I think you said fabulous wrong.
Fabulous.
I kind of wanted to tell a story. I wrote about it in a Let's Learn About, but I'm not sure if everybody reads the Let's Learn Abouts. On the site, there's a little icon at the top that says LLA, which stands for Let's Learn About.
Or la-la-la.
Exclamation
As
point.
I like to call it.
La.
No, I do read those, but la. I just... don't recall the story you're referring to.
Yeah, this is a one I just posted on Sunday, I believe.
That's why. I was in California.
Yeah, but this is what happened on Friday morning. I go to the same Muffin Man every morning. Do you know the... Okay, I could have just...
Did you almost just ask me if I know the Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man on 37th
Wait,
and
6th. Does he live on Cherry Lane?
No, 37th and 6th in a metal box.
I'm afraid that I know other Muffin Men of the same nature upwards of... Lexington and 57th.
But he's a great Muffin Man. The only thing is, it's the kind of thing that, like, he knows I like the blueberry yogurt muffin. Because I got that
those
the first
are
time
quite
I went
enjoyable,
there.
Yes.
And now he bags it. Like, I could be five people behind in line, and he bags me the muffin before I'm up there. So if I get up there and I want something different, I feel so guilty.
Yeah.
So, like, I sometimes will pretend I'm out sick. Like, he'd be like, where were you yesterday? I'm like, I'm sick. And meanwhile, I was like,
you're like, I wanted lemon poppy
seed.
I was
getting a sesame bagel and a wonton, which I hate, just because I didn't want another muffin. But so basically, on Friday, I went to pay him, and it was that time of the month, and I reached into my bag, and I felt a dollar, and took it out, and I handed the man a panty. I handed the man a panty liner, and his reaction was amazing because he didn't know what to do. Like, he kind of went to like go and reach for it, and then he like, kind of like pulled back because he realized what it was, but he had his hand like still hovering on it. Like, does she really want to pay with that? Like, has she lost it? I know it's been a really rough week. So, and the worst thing, I think the worst thing for me was that I didn't get embarrassed at all. For me, it was like the total normal thing to do. I was like, oh, sorry. I don't even think I said sorry. I just put it back and took a real dollar out. So, yeah, that was, it should have been one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me, but it wasn't. So I'm pretty sure it might have been one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to the Muffin Man. I'm 37th and 6th.
I'm actually drooling on myself right now because of
I wish thing. We had a camera. There was a lot of spittle that just flew out of her head. I'm glad you enjoy my panty liner story. Panty liners are a gag that's not used often enough. And a friend of mine was saying, he's like, you could totally, you know, do an art series about that. Like, videotape yourself trying to pay for things with feminine products. And, you know, he was joking when he said it, but
that
the
sounds like something they would show at, like, the end of a UCB episode or something.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you would...
I could see Amy Poehler doing
see,
that.
I could see, like, the Met. If I had some great, like, story to be like, this is about how females are repressed in society and we're so commercial and, you know,
oh, yeah.
Women are, you know... Everyone's a consumer and women are the consumables.
You took a really funny idea and made it really not funny just now.
I know.
I almost hurt. I almost felt myself die a little bit inside. I was like,
just
oh.
Just now, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm doing silent things now.
Colleen's doing sign language, which is always the best language to use on a radio show.
Yes, it is. Actually, my favorite language to use on a radio show is... is old man language. And I'm going to do
which is a great segue
into the next thing.
Almost as good as Florio.
Florio. Oh man, I could go for one of those.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of 32nd Old Man Theater. This week's edition includes an excerpt from the 1942 cinema classic Casablanca.
Do we start recording now?
Yes. Okay. Start recording.
Last night we said a great many things. You said I was to do thinking for both of us, but I've done a lot since then. It adds up to one thing. You're getting on that plane with Victor where you belong. No, Richard, no, Raya. No, you gotta listen to me. You got any idea what you had to look forward to staying here? 9 chances out of 10. We'll wind up at a concentration camp. Is a concentration camp? When was this movie made? Isn't that true, Louis? I'm afraid Master's Drive's urgency is the only
thing. Thank you for listening
to
32nd Theater.
I didn't get to any of the famous lines yet.
That was 32nd Old Man Theater. Thanks for listening. Please
do I still get my Jell-O cup?
No.
Crap.
You have to make it to the famous lines first.
That was a really good panty liner story. I liked it a lot.
Why, thank you. I'm sure within the next month or two, I'll have a new panty liner story that'll knock the panties off that liner from before.
One time at the airport, you know how you like have to like empty the change out of your pocket and put it into the dish when you go through the metal detectors?
Yes.
I had a tampon
sense.
In my pocket and I totally like put it in the dish and was like, that's not metal. I didn't need to do that, but I did.
I actually use metal tampons, don't you?
They're very absorbent.
They are.
The steel wool.
And it's really fun because if you sit down fast, it's like clank.
There's a little chain hanging off the end instead of a string.
Amazing. Oh, man.
I like
man.
That idea. Now I want to make it metal tampon.
I do, too.
We're in the workshop now. I've got my welding helmet on. I've fastened the chain to a large tampon-shaped...
A bullet.
I used an actual gun bullet.
They're kind of tampon-shaped.
I figured we needed an applicator of some kind. If the bullet already
shotgun
fits in
shell,
the gun.
Applicator, why not?
Yes, we could use... Well, I figured the gun to...
Oh! That hurt my cervix a little bit just thinking about that.
Wow. Oh, this is a very...
I hope everybody listens to this show. It's a nice dirty one. So,
oh man,
so, let me change the tone a little bit and tell a little story. Thanks, Colleen. So yes, so this is a story about karma.
Karma.
This is a story about good and evil, give and take,
ebb and flow, flow and ebb,
proverbially speaking. And so I, on my plane trip out to California. I had a layover. It was a direct flight, but not a nonstop direct flight, which means that you have a layover, you just
but don't
have
get
to change
off the
planes.
Plane. Oh,
well,
so.
I did get off the plane.
Okay.
But I didn't have to go to a different plane.
Okay.
So, being an idiot, I just, like, jumped out of my seat and left my sweatshirt there.
Oh.
And so I lost my sweatshirt. You know, the cleaning people came and they took my sweatshirt, and that was it. And I was so sad. My little gray fashion hoodie is now somewhere in Denver. Aww. Which is okay with me because Denver needs a little more fashion.
Well now.
So,
that actually leads me into my, would you have more of your
That's
your
not
karma?
The end of the story.
Oh shit, there's
because
more.
Karma is, like I said, give and take.
Yes.
That was the give.
That was the ebb.
Yes. So I then continued on my flight. I said, well, oh well, you know, I'm not going to make like a big stink and have like a freak out attack over a sweatshirt, right?
I would have made a big stink. Whenever I lose something, I get gas.
I knew you were going somewhere with that. Someplace stinky.
I'm done.
So, so I got to LA and, well, Orange County, and I was waiting at the baggage claim carousel. And, which I always think is funny that they call it a carousel because there's no horses. You're not allowed to get on there and ride.
If you're fast, you are.
No, because if you get there first, it's not even going around yet. It's not even rotating. It's at its most uncarousel state at that point.
I've ridden 3. Not all as much fun as the first time, but I didn't get arrested.
Well, that's good, because in Orange County, there's a thing that says if you ride this, you will be punished.
In Newark, there's a thing, it's actually not, doesn't say anything, but it's just got a picture of a hand with all the fingers severed off and blood squirting out. I'm not joking. It's a cartoon hand with, like, severed fingers. And it doesn't actually explain it. It's not like, you know, this happened to someone once, or it's not like, you know.
But the way you just went into that story, I thought at first, I mean, I imagine that what it's trying to convey is, oh,
keep your hands away, or
if
else
you put your hand in here, your fingers could get chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly I went to the, if you ride on this thing, we're not going to send you to prison for chopping your fucking fingers off.
Yeah, and that's why I have no fingers in my hand.
Anyway, you didn't steal, you just rode the baggage claim carousel. So anyway, so it's at the baggage claim carousel. Of course, you always get there before your luggage does, and we're all standing around. So they start up, they fire up the rotation, and, you know, it's empty, except for there's one Rycooter CD going around. It was, like, there before anybody else's luggage got there, right? Okay. And so I was like, I love Rycooter. I bet none of these other Orange County assholes have any idea who Rycooter is. I should totally take it. But then I was like, no, I don't want to be, like, arrested for, like, stealing somebody else's Rycooter CD. So I waited and I waited, and I, you know, eventually got my luggage, and everybody else left, and still, you know, 20 rotations later, there's still this Rycooter CD, and I was like, I lost my sweatshirt in Denver. This is my karmic reward for not making a stink. This is my...
Karma was like, here's a CD.
Yeah, it's like, you lose your sweatshirt, you get a Rycooter CD.
Hmm.
So that's my story.
That's a pretty good one.
Thanks. So yeah. Is it second song time?
I think it's totally second song time. And
what's the name of our second song, Colleen?
The name of the second song is Lord Put a Mountain Down on Me.
Their website, because obviously I think PonceDeLeon.com is probably stolen by some awful social studies teacher.
Some kind of crazy history nut.
Yeah.
But their website is www.dolphinsstrikedoutwithsubwoofers.com. And I will spell that slowly.
That's actually dolphin strict out.
Yes.
Because it would be a C in striked.
I thought it was a baseball thing.
So did I.
It's not a baseball thing? They're not. I imagined a dolphin baseball team.
It probably means something that we just don't understand because we're not as cool as this band is.
That is true. That is true.
It's dolphin strict. Or no, you know what it is? We're such fucking retards.
Dolphins tricked out.
We're all dolphins stricked out.
The dolphins striked out. The dolphins striked out. The Cubs win the pageant.
Dolphins tricked out with subwoofers.com.
Yes.
Do you think you could spell that? Because that is a long ass thing for us to spell for you.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the song.
Pam, being a born dead with syphilis, but now that can't be worse than death. Just lay your burden down, yeah, yeah. Ring is with tuberculosis, gonna send you to a psychosis. Just lay your burden down, yeah, yeah.
You know what Whitey thinks?
What's he think?
Not enough human Africans to achieve enslavement acumen.
Just lay your burden down, yeah, yeah.
But they believe in a higher intelligence and invest in its magnificence. Michael Jackson, now run lover, please take these, take all of
dolphins playing baseball. Have you heard the thing about the WWF?
I did hear that the Yankees are going to kick some... No, I'm sorry. I did hear that the Angels are going to kick some Yankee ass this upcoming week.
In the WWF?
No, in the World Series playoffs.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening. Because I don't pay attention to anything, ever.
What about the WWF, Colleen?
Well, the WWF is no longer the WWF.
It hasn't been for a while, right?
Yeah, but it was because of the World Wildlife Federation.
Okay.
Basically sued them. And I keep saying it would be so great if they had, like, a pay-per-view showdown. If it was, like, WWF versus WWF. And they had, like, the animals and the wrestlers, like, going head-to-head. And
I think the animals would kick ass.
I think so, too. But the only thing is they'd be harder to get to follow the scripts.
That might be true.
Yeah, so I figured my theory...
But that would make altogether more interesting television.
True.
Has reality TV truly taught us nothing, Colleen? Unscripted.
It taught me that Ron Jeremy and Tammy Faye should get married. I want them to have babies with
somebody just has to kill off that Roe Messner.
Oh, no. Somebody asked for somebody to be killed.
No, Jimmy. No.
No.
You don't kill people anyway, right? You just haul around bags of... medium socks.
I was just wondering what they were going to do with the person's socks once they were dead. I'm gonna be over here.
Okay.
Jimmy, just go away. But back to my story. So my theory was that the only animals smart enough to learn the scripts were dolphins and chimps. So I thought it'd be really funny to have a chimp/dolphin tag team going at it with...
getting it on!
Versus Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh my god, that was my dream team. I was just gonna name. Actually, I was thinking. I was having
a
really good debate.
Too predictable, Colleen. I know you too well.
I was thinking between. It was either Rowdy Roddy Piper or Andre the Giant, who I love, but I don't want him to be killed by a dolphin. And dolphins can hurt sharks, so I don't know what chance he'd have.
Well, packs of dolphins can.
Packs of dolphins. Pachyderms of dolphins. An elephant stuffed with dolphins. To the brim! I actually think it's time for us to go.
Okay.
I think it's the end of show 6.
Thanks for visiting.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to the show. And this is Colleen A.F. Venable saying, lock your doors because I like to spoon.
And this is Annie Sanders saying, I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Oh!
And I'm all out of bubblegum.
We're so sorry to see you go, but we hope you'll be back for more of the Fluff Radio Review.
The story is about karma.
Chameleons?
No. Just karma. And the yin and the yang, the give and the take, the ebb and the flow, if you will, of the proverbial universe. Did you mean to do that?
Oh my god. No. I was trying to snap like a beatnik. But my answer was funny. Somehow...
I didn't believe that just happened. I was like, no way.
Ready? Crazy.
Oh my god, I have to start my story over because that was insane. And I wish we could share that with everybody, but it won't make sense. Because
no,
they'll be like, oh my god, Colleen snapped and her screensaver turned on. And they'll be like, that is so boring.
Well, actually, I think we should actually say that Annie started this story actually about 40 seconds ago. And I was trying to get into it and snapping to pretend it was like a beatnik kind of thing. And I snapped and my screensaver turned on, which doesn't sound funny, but it was so fucking
it was a little creepy. I was very impressed. I thought you did. I thought there was like somewhere on your screen, there was like a timer that said like 3, 2, 1, screensaver time. And so I thought that you knew it was coming or something, but
no,
that was impressive. Anyway.
My computer's just possessed. It's going to kill me in my sleep.